Chapter 10, Tools of the Productive Developer. To be productive as a developer, you need a good understanding and control of the tools you use. In some professions, formal training is given in the tools of the trade. My father works in chemistry, and he shared that for a job in a chemistry laboratory, the first step is learning what the instruments are and what they do. Early days are spent as an assistant using simple instruments under supervision. Once proficiency is demonstrated, there's access to more complicated tools and tasks. After a few years, it's possible for lab workers to operate complex instruments entirely by themselves and to train new assistants. But in software, training like this is rare. Some companies are better than others at educating professionals on how their tooling, build, deployment, and other systems work. But often, you have to figure these things out yourself. This chapter seeks to correct this. It's a summary of the tools and systems you need to use effectively in order to be a reliable software engineer in many workplaces. We cover 1. Your local development environment. 2. Frequently used tools. 3. Ways to iterate quickly. 1. Your local development environment. Master your coding environment. Your interactive development environment, IDE, or coding text editor. Get familiar with it and learn its capabilities. Does your development environment support functionality like searching within certain files, replacing in a current file, extracting methods, and changing variable names? Can you build your project and run it with one click? IDEs are very powerful once you learn how to use them. Here are some capabilities you should find in a modern IDE. Refactoring. Can you refactor code more easily, like renaming variables, functions, and classes, or extracting methods? Look up the built-in refactoring capabilities of your environment. Compiling. Set up one-click building compilation of a project. Which keyboard shortcut can you use to perform this step? Can you set up compiling or building every time you save a file? Running the project. How can you launch your compiled project to run with a single click or keyboard shortcut? This is especially relevant for front-end facing applications like web apps or mobile. Hot reload. Is it possible to make a change to the code while it's running and have this change be live after the file is saved and the environment reloads itself? Debugging. Get familiar with how to place a breakpoint, how to step into it, how to step over it, and how to step out from it. Where can you see the stack trace? How can you view local variables? Advanced debugging. Can you use conditional breakpoints? Can you ignore a condition n times before it breaks? Can you change variables when the breakpoint is hit? Running tests. How can you run automated tests, such as unit or integration tests? Can you do so with a single click or with a keyboard shortcut? Debugging tests. How can you place breakpoints and debug a test? Can you debug a specific test by itself? If so, how? Creating a pull request. Can you do source control management, such as creating a pull request from within the IDE? Figuring things out takes time. You'll make quicker progress by pairing with a more experienced engineer. Ask how they perform the actions you've just heard and learn from them. Understanding how to use your IDE effectively will shorten coding iteration cycles and speed up your work. A rapid edit, compile, run, output cycle. If it takes more than a few seconds to make edits and see how they look, then you're likely losing time on context switching. With modern tools and decent hardware, there's little reason to wait more than a second or two to view changes, be they code refreshing in a web browser, unit tests running in the backend, or changes showing up in the mobile simulator. Don't accept a slow cycle from an edit to the change being live in your environment. Ask teammates how they work, and copy the approach of someone who doesn't wait on their machine. If everyone has a slow coding iteration cycle, then search online and ask on forums to figure out how to speed up this process. Making iterations rapidly will boost your productivity and keep you in the zone when working. Configure your IDE and workflow. Once you've got the hang of development in your current environment and workplace, consider making your workflow more convenient. Here's how. Set up shortcuts for frequent actions, such as running your project, running a test, searching the codebase, and so on. If you repeat actions by clicking around in the IDE menu, figure out a shortcut or set up a keyboard shortcut. These are small efficiency wins which will help keep you in the flow as they become part of your muscle memory. Configure your color scheme. This is a minor detail for some people, but makes a big difference for others. Choose a color scheme which makes your IDE easier to work with. It could be as simple as selecting dark or light mode, or something more involved like picking colors that match your terminal. Color scheme packs are available from editors, such as the Dracula Color Theme by Zeno Rocha, or Color Schemes by Dale Reese. Set up code formatting and linting if needed. When typing code, should brackets in an if statement be on the same line or on the next line? How many spaces should be used when indenting? Or should indentation just use tabs? If your team already has code formatting and linting rules in place, ensure these settings are applied to your local development environment. If no rules are enforced, consider selecting a code formatter and linting style for your code. Enabling a code formatter means all code you write is consistent. Many of these tools can be set up to auto-format when saving the file or with a keyboard shortcut. When working in a team, it's helpful for everyone to use the same style. Consider discussing settling on one approach with teammates. If your IDE has a playground, use it. In some development environments, the IDE comes with a playground component for trying things out quickly. For example, Xcode's Swift Playgrounds in iOS development. Get familiar with this environment and tinker with it, as it might be handy for quick prototyping. Look into alternative development environments and playgrounds. There are many development environments. If your team has settled on one, prioritize learning that first, but also consider alternatives in case another tool works better in certain use cases. For example, coding playgrounds like JS Fiddle could be a good choice for throwing together concepts quickly when prototyping during web development. 2. Frequently used tools. Git. Get to know Git, as it's very likely to be in use as version control. Learn your version control tooling and the ideas behind Git, like branching, rebasing, resolving conflicts and merging, cherry picking. Most importantly, find a Git client you're comfortable using. Many developers swear by learning to use Git over the command line, instead of relying on a graphical user interface, GUI. If you do this, you won't depend on any one source control application. I encourage giving this a go, and don't worry if the command line is less appealing than using a graphical interface. Git is just a tool. The main thing is that you can create pull requests and deal with conflicts, which are the most common actions. The command line terminal. The command line is a text-only interface and a powerful tool. It has different names on different operating systems. On Mac, this is the terminal application. On Linux, the shell application. Linux has several shell applications available, like sh, zsh, csh, ksh. On Windows, the command prompt, or CMD, or the more powerful PowerShell command line. You'll also find the command line within IDEs. For example, in Visual Studio Code, it shows up under the Terminal tab. The command line is especially useful when working with remote machines, when you might need to connect via SSH and then use the command line interface. Familiarize yourself with common command line commands like navigating directories, listing directory contents, running scripts, such as Python or Node scripts, searching within the contents of files, or setting the value of environment variables. The best way to become familiar with the command line is to start using it for tasks. Find out how by searching how to do X with the command line, where X is the task you want to complete. The more comfortable you are with the command line, the more efficient your workflow is. Regular expressions. Learn enough regex, regular expressions, because they may be helpful, especially when searching for certain files or doing bulk editing, renaming. Learn the basic syntax of how they work and use them when searching files and replacing contents. Find a tool that helps you test and verify regular expressions, which is available when needed. This tool could be a website or even an AI assistant. SQL. SQL is the language for querying relational databases. When building a data storing application or service, the data storage will be a relational database or a NoSQL database. However, when querying any type of data, there's a good chance you'll use some SQL syntax. So learn the basics of SQL. How to create a table. How to use the select command with the from, where, order by, group by, having clauses, and also some more advanced aspects like joining tables or using views. As a bonus, it's helpful to understand the performance of these statements and the importance of table indexes in executing more complicated queries like joins. Once you have a decent understanding of SQL, you can rely on this knowledge when doing data manipulation. AI coding assistants. From early 2023, AI coding assistants exploded in popularity and efficiency. These assistants fall into two broad categories. 1. Inline coding assistants. These work like autocomplete on steroids, suggesting code to write based on existing code. Examples include GitHub Copilot, SourceGraph Kodi, Tab9, and many others. 2. Generative AI chat interfaces. Many generative AI chat applications are trained on source code and programming concepts. These tools help to talk through coding-related topics and questions and are useful for generating code scaffolding or larger pieces of code with multiple files. Ask colleagues which assistants they use, try them out, and settle on ones that click with you. Figure out which prompts are helpful and save useful prompts in a file for reference later. AI coding assistants are just one more productivity tool once you figure out how to use them well and understand their limitations. All tools have downsides, and a big one of AI tools is that they sometimes generate code that is not what you want. Or the code may have bugs, and models can hallucinate and make up APIs which don't exist. Being aware of the limitations lets you use these tools much more efficiently. Development tools at your company. What are the internal, possibly custom, development tools that engineers in your workplace regularly use? As you onboard to your team and begin making your first few code changes, you will likely come across several. For example, it's common at larger tech companies to have custom CI/CD systems, custom code review tools, custom monitoring and alert tools, and custom feature flag and experimentation systems. Even if the tools aren't custom, different companies tend to use different vendors, so it's necessary to be familiar with them. Ask fellow engineers which tools they use regularly. Make a list and figure out how to access them and how they work. Create your own cheat sheet on how to use them efficiently. Your productivity cheat sheet. When I was at Uber, which possessed a huge volume of custom internal tools, I kept a document of useful links to internal tools and dashboards, and a list of commands, prompts, and queries. This document was useful for years. Consider creating a personal productivity cheat sheet. Start with a blank document and add the names of tools with short descriptions of what they do, links, commands, and other notes. This small document can help a lot, especially during the first few months on a new team. 3. Ways to iterate quickly. Read existing code and understand what it does. The challenge of coding is often not how to write code, but what to write. This is especially the case when working within a more complex code base. You'll be much more productive when you understand how things work and can navigate the code base. Here are a few things you can do. Ask someone to walk you through the structure. Ask an experienced engineer to walk you through the parts of the code base, which parts do what, and what to take note of. Draw out classes and/or modules and how they connect. Create a diagram by hand or with a sketching tool like Excalidraw, Lucidcharts, or similar. Draw parts of the code base and note down your interpretation of their roles and what they connect to. Share your code map with teammates. Share the map you created with teammates and ask for feedback. It's often a good conversation starter. Frequently, it won't be just you who learns new things about the code base. Others may find pointers in your map to things the code should improve on or relationships they didn't realize existed. Create a cheat sheet. Take notes on where to find key parts of the code and frequently used modules or classes. This could be as simple as a text file or a basic document. When you experience aha moments of clarity, record them. Know how to debug the CI/CD. CI stands for continuous integration and CD for continuous deployment. Having a CI/CD system in place is commonplace at most tech companies and startups. Every now and then, you might have problems with tests unexpectedly failing on the CI server or when deploying with CD. These issues tend to be rare, but can be challenging to pinpoint. Understand how CI/CD works at your company and on your team. This understanding will develop your sense of what's happening behind the scenes. Which scripts run and in what order? How can you inspect the setup? Ask longer-tenured or more experienced engineers for pointers on this system. If there's a dedicated team maintaining the CI/CD system, talk to an engineer on that team. How do you access the CI/CD logs? They are key to understanding why some builds fail. Was it a CI/CD infrastructure issue, or could it have been a regression in a recent code change? We cover more about CI/CD systems in Part 5, Chapter 23, Software Engineering. Know how to access production logs and dashboards. Debugging production issues for users is challenging without access to details about what might have happened. So figure out the options for accessing production logs, dashboards, and metrics. How to filter those logs to certain users. How to query various relevant data sources for debugging. How to access crash dumps, errors, and exceptions for specific users. Processes to follow when debugging production logs. For example, if you access personal information when debugging production data, there may be a data protection process to follow. Ask your manager and more experienced engineers. If you have a productivity cheat sheet, add details to it for quick reference later. Make small code changes when possible. It's likely that you'll work in an environment where code changes are submitted as pull requests, PR, accompanied by a description of the PR. Here are a few ways to work effectively with PRs. Aim for small pull requests where possible. Break your changes into one small PR each, with each PR changing one thing only. Summarize the why and the what. In the pull request, write no more than a few sentences about why the change is being made. Provide a short overview of what you changed. Remember, the PR comment will be read by others in the future to learn why your change was made. It's more helpful to over-explain than under-explain it. When the UI changes, use images. A picture is worth 1,000 words here. Attach an image of the before and after states. Mention edge cases covered and those not covered. Make clear which ones you accounted for. Be clear what's not in scope for a change, especially if there is expected to be follow-up work in future PRs. Seek feedback on your pull request summaries. Ask more experienced engineers to go through your last few PRs. Ask what they liked, what was confusing, and their advice for writing clearer, crisper summaries. Write and run automated tests. The most time-consuming thing about writing code tends to be precisely that. Writing the code. It involves devising an approach, writing the correct code, and testing that it works. The next most time-consuming activity is fixing the things your newly written code broke. The best way to write code that is bug-free and doesn't cause regressions is to test it. Naturally, you should manually test your code after making changes. However, there's a more efficient way. Run automated tests already in place in the codebase, and write new automated tests which exercise your code and can catch future regressions. We go into more detail about why testing is important and common approaches in Part 3, Testing. For now, here's a short summary of tests it's good to be familiar with. Unit tests. The simplest type of tests, which are the baseline of testing in most environments. Assuming your team already uses unit tests, join in and learn how to write good tests. Get feedback from your team. Integration, screenshot, and end-to-end tests. These tests are more complicated to write and test a broader range of functionality. In back-end development, integration tests can be more relevant. For web and mobile development, screenshot and end-to-end tests might be more common. Find out if your team uses any of these tests and learn how to contribute to writing and maintaining them. Don't just wait for code reviews, ask for them. Waiting for too long to get code reviews can slow your pace. When you send your code for review, consider that it could be helpful to let more experienced devs know that a code review would help you progress further. The best way to go about figuring out if and when you should request such reviews is to ask other devs on the team. When they have code ready, would they mind if you ping them about this? Is there a team channel where people announce reviews? More experienced developers will understand that providing a quick enough code review greatly helps developers move faster and will prioritize doing so. But in the case they don't yet do this, ask how you can best let them know that you need their help to get unblocked and get that much-needed review. Get frequent feedback. The two fastest ways to grow into a reliable software engineer: build things. Solve problems by writing code and ship that code to production. Get feedback. Does your solution work as expected? Does it do what you intended with no side effects? Get feedback by shipping to production. The most straightforward way to get feedback on your work is to ship it to production and then confirm that it works as expected. The beauty of this approach is that if your code has bugs or issues, there's a good chance you'll get feedback really quickly from customers. Of course, the downside of getting feedback from production is that you can break things. Fortunately, there are safer sources of feedback which it's smart to utilize. Ask for feedback on your work. Sometimes it's more effective to ask for direct feedback on specific work from a peer whom you trust or your manager. The best time to seek feedback is when you finish a task or wrap up a project. This is when people will give the most specific, most helpful comments. The next time you complete a piece of work, consider pulling aside a more experienced engineer and asking what they thought you did well and where you could improve. If you have one-on-ones with your manager, ask for direct feedback on specific work or projects. Your manager might not be able to give immediate feedback if they don't work closely with you, but they're in a good position to gather feedback from teammates and summarize it with you. Plenty of engineers are poor at giving feedback. Not because they don't care about giving good feedback, but because they don't know how to give specific and actionable feedback. Don't take it personally if you get feedback that sounds judgmental or isn't helpful, like, you could have done it faster, or you asked for a lot of help. Instead, probe more to translate this into something more actionable, and ask if those actions would address the feedback. For example, feedback that you could have done something faster might be a poor attempt to say that you didn't share when you encountered a delay. Actionable feedback would be to communicate a roadblock more clearly in the future. Compare your output with teammates' outputs. Work isn't a competition, but it's helpful to get a sense of where you are in terms of output and iteration speed compared to your peers. Observe how frequently teammates submit pull requests, push code to production, and finish tasks. The goal is simply to get an idea of how you're doing compared to the team's normal pace of work. Once onboarding is complete, it's a standard expectation that engineers get up to a reasonable speed for their level. It's helpful to have your own data points for figuring out how you're doing, even before explicit feedback from others.